All right, take your Bibles, if you will, please, and we'll turn to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. I think I told you last week that I was going to start a new series, and I saw something I needed to do. So we're going to do that this morning. We have sign-up sheets for the luncheon on the Tuesday of the revival. Tuesday morning, we'll invite preachers. In fact, we'll have a nice little crowd here. We usually run about 100 or so on Tuesday morning, sometime 120, somewhere in there. And we'll have two speakers. Pastor Mark Cam will be up from Baltimore, Arlington Baptist Church, and then Brother Harper will be preaching. And we'll have a little breakfast about 9:30. Little light breakfast, and then we'll have luncheon on that day, and so we'll have a nice luncheon for everybody. It's free. We just want to know how many's coming. So I mean, we're talking about a hot lunch. We're not talking about a ham sandwich. All right, we're talking about a nice hot lunch, and it's worth coming just for the lunch. But you'll be fed spiritually as well. So if you can be here, listen, you don't be a member or anything, just come. We would like to know if you're coming or not, but just come. And by the way, come for these as much as you can. I understand, it's a week and you're out late and so forth. See why? And I go through this every time. And you know what my spiel is going to say. You're out there, you have to come right from work. Fine. Well, I'll be in my work clothes. Fine. Well, I'll be greasy. Fine. I might stink. Fine. We might not sit next to you, but fine. We want you here, honest, we do. We want you here and get you as much. We do this for us. Now, there'll be folks who will come from other churches and so forth, and that's all fine and dandy, but we do it for us. And so I want you to come. Get us, so I can't come every night. Well, don't come every night if you can't come every night, but come when you come. And like I said, the Tuesday morning, you come for the first one, you got to leave before the second one, fine. You can't get there till the second one, fine. It really, I just want you to get as much as you can while we're here. And we've been praying, and I hope you'll pray too, whether you come to one of those prayer meetings or not, that the Lord will do something special. I think Brother Meyer, he spoke to the men on Friday night and was very apropos. I think sometimes I was a sermon about a year and a half ago I did on move the stone. And it's a very similar message, but he had never heard it before. He wasn't here yet. But we need to trust God to do something that only God can do. Sometimes we talk big, but we're not willing to go out on a limb. They all said that Lazarus could be raised from the dead. Sounds really good. But then when they said, who's going to roll the stone away? It's been dead for 4 days. It's going to stink. I'm not rolling that thing away. Well, you said, let's roll it away. I'll raise him from the dead. Somebody had to roll that stone away. Some of us have to go out on a limb and say, we want to see God do something beyond what we see in our normal day-to-day life. We talked about Gideon a few weeks ago. And Gideon said, well, where are all the, if God's with us, where are all the miracles? Where's all these things apparently he did? Well, they're right there ready. We just need to step out and trust him and follow his plan and obey and see what God can do. I'm not looking for a lot of crazy stuff, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if that person that you've been praying for, that you think will never come to know Christ, actually came to know Christ? That marriage you thought was shot, was going to be gone, there was no hope for it, was healed. That child that left and doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus comes back and says, I don't know what I was thinking, but I need it. Wouldn't be a wonderful thing. And we talk big, but we have to somehow step out, see what God can do. He can do. Psalm 101. It says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely, in a perfect way. And when wilt thou come unto me?
I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Let me say that again. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. My house. You don't have to say it out loud, but say it in your heart. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Oh, it must be resolved. Maybe he made a decision there. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. That word know is kind of hold him up as saying, he's one of my buddies. So I'm not gonna run around with somebody and get to know them like we're one of my buddies, one of my companions. Verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. They may dwell with me, and he that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. And he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. And he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Now, it sounds a little self-righteous. We'll see that's not what he's saying here. He said, I'm so easy to slip into this. If I run around the wrong crowd, before I know it, I'm doing exactly the same thing they're doing. I don't want that. Verse 8. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, you may not understand this title yet, but you will. Let's pray. We're going to talk about watch the gate. Watch the gate. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us. Lord, give us what we need here this morning. Give us your wisdom, your discernment, your understanding. Lord, I do want our folks to see you do things that maybe isn't the norm. Not to just they see, not to be wowed. That's not the point. But we just kind of exist and hope everything's going to be okay. We hang on by our nails till Jesus comes and hoping we won't get a whole lot worse. When in fact, Lord, you could do some great and mighty things. And you said that we will search for you and find you when we search with all our heart. But we've got to give you all our heart. We can't have our heart divided. We can't be giving away our heart to other things. We've got to determine, resolve to give you our heart. Lord, there's all kinds of things going on in the lives of our people here. And there's no temptation to take in them except that which is common to man. And once one temptation passes by, it's not long until another one comes strolling by. We're going to have some resolve. Lord, I ask us to soberly consider these things this morning. May your Holy Spirit again move and give us what we need. Maybe some folks are doing what they're supposed to be doing and they just need the encouragement that they're okay. There may be some things, and most likely some things in all of our lives that need to be tended to. Bring them up to our hearts. And not only today, but as the time goes by, there'll be other things you'll want to bring up. We might not even be ready for some of them right now. The work of God, we know, is a constant thing. You began a good work, shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You predetermined for us to be conformed to the image of your Son. And that's a lifelong process. So, Lord, we give you this day. We give you this hour. We give you our hearts. Please give us your word and your truth with your Holy Spirit. And we'll give you again the praise. In Christ's name, amen. Spoken of quite a few weeks on seeking the Lord with all our whole heart. The reason I did so is because so many people, including Christians, search for the Lord, but they do so on their own terms. They decide what the minimum criteria is that can be called seeking with our whole heart. Let me say that again. I think sometimes we want to find out what is the minimum criteria that puts me over the line where I can say I'm seeking with all my heart. If you're looking for a minimum criteria, then you're not seeking with all your heart. So often what hinders us is not only our own lusts, but our sinfulness, watch me, as it is stirred up by other sinners. I mentioned before, you know, have you ever ridden the bumper cars at the carnival, or this guy that you've never met before, you know you're all there to have fun. He comes along, and he catches you from behind, and you know what he says? Oh yeah. And so that's all part of the deal. And that's why they call them bumper cars. You hit once, you expect the guy, you flip that thing around, turn that thing on a dime, and you head after that guy where all you're worth. Problem is, his car goes the same speed as yours. And so before you get there, somebody comes along and smacks you on the side. Well, by the time you get this thing turned around, and it's going backwards, you know how that thing goes. Sometimes you come out more frustrated than satisfied. People are sinners. And we bump into each other all the time. And it causes our ire to rise. Causes our tempers to flare sometimes. And the closer we are to other sinners, the more those sinners are going to bump into each other. And things are going to occur. And we're going to, sometimes they raise up our temper. Sometimes they encourage us to do wrong. We're tempted, we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Galatians 5:7 says, watch. Galatians 5:7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Who was it that hindered you that ye should not obey the truth? It goes on, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. In other words, you didn't get this mindset from God. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now we're talking about cooking. What's going on here? Do you remember when Lucy made bread, and she made bread and put too much stuff in there, and then it started coming out of the oven, and it just keeps coming, and she's got this. I mean, it was really a sight gag. It was so unbelievable. But of course, it's working its way out like all that's going to come out of the oven, and it pushes her against the cabinet, you know, and all this. Well, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. You know what it says? A little sin makes a big mess. In fact, it kind of blows everything up out of proportion. It's really just a lot of hot air and bubbles, but sure can make a mess. He says, this idea that you're not obeying the truth, you didn't get that from God. A little leaven leavened the whole lump. You did not watch out. This is going to blow up. And it's going to get out of hand. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. In other words, I'm trusting you're going to attend to this carefully. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. He says, there's things come up. Now, we can easily allow others to catch our focus. And before we realize it, the Lord does not have our whole heart anymore. Let me say that again. Things happen as sinners bump into each other. And all of a sudden it catches our focus. And all of a sudden our heart is to turn this doggone buggy around here and see if I can catch up with that guy that just bumped into my side. My focus is no longer on what the Lord can do. My focus is on what I'm going to do to get back at this guy over here. Or this fellow over here hurt my feelings. Oh, I'm not going back to church because you know what the preacher said? He told me I was a sinner. So we so easily allow ourselves to be out of focus. Our heart's not on the Lord anymore. And maybe, he never was, maybe. But we begin prioritizing life in such a way that our walk with the Lord becomes, watch, just another item on our to-do list. Our walk with the Lord becomes just another item on our to-do list rather than being the to-do list. We say, I'm going to walk with Him as I do in the rest of my life. No. You're going to do the rest of your life as you walk with Him. The goal is to walk with Him. If I want to search for the Lord with all my heart, there are naturally going to be some things that I must separate from. Some of those things we need to separate from may even be people. Now, I'm not suggesting that you make a blacklist, call them up, and tell those people that you can no longer be friends with them. That's not what I'm saying. We're not cultish and saying you can't go back and be with your family, you can't go to the family reunions, you can't go to Christmas there. I'm not saying that. I am saying, lovingly stand your ground with sincerity and truth, and those who do not want to have anything with the Lord will probably stop seeking you. But love them, care for them, stand for truth. Don't make a big to-do about it, just be. Now, this message is by no means exhaustive, though it may be exhausting before we're done. But I want to draw your attention to a few things that I believe we can easily overlook, and find ourselves not searching for the Lord with all our hearts, even though we may think that we really are. And in the meantime, we're wondering why the promises of God are not flowing as we expected them to flow. And we don't have to go looking for sin and wickedness and evil. All that comes knocking on our door. Most of the time, they come as an angel of light, telling you they're there to do you a favor. Hi, I'm from the IRS, and I'm here to help. Yeah. They tell you they are a friend and just want to be a blessing and encouragement. Let me give you the first statement here this morning. Who we listen to determines much of who we are. Who we listen to determines much of who we are. Now, some folks have a life verse. I have a life verse, except I'm as long-winded on my life verse as everything else. My life verse is three verses. Psalm 1. In fact, the very first time I came, first thing I spoke on in Sunday school, back here in the fellowship hall, first time I came to preach here years ago, was Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's the words of the world. The world's going to tell you all kinds of things. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then leave it alone. I'm telling you, just leave it alone. We are what we have been becoming. And we are what we are, what we listen to, what we allow to come into our heart. The second verse says this, but his delight is in the law. Blessed the man that walks not in those things, but his delight, he gets a kick out of it. It makes his day. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, think about day and night. Why? Because he'd be like a tree planted by rivers of water to bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He said, this is going to work. This is going to be good for me. I'm going to learn the word of God. He's going to tell me how to work, live my life, and God's going to bless this. So if that's the case, then I should seek him with all my heart. Who we listen to determines much of who we are. If we run with the wrong crowd, we will act like the wrong crowd. We will seek the Lord as much as the rest of the world, which is not much. We are thus seeking to be accepted by the crowd more so than seeking to be accepted by the Lord. And how can we claim to be searching for the Lord with all our heart if we're also seeking to be accepted by the world? You follow me? Friendship with the world is still enmity with God. If I start making good friends with all the ladies around here, I'm probably going to be making an enemy out of my wife. Right? Absolutely. And God said, you're going to have no other gods before me. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, I was a school teacher. I spent, about 10 years total in the classroom, years past. Get a room full of junior high boys. See, I don't even have to say anything. Get those things together, and you're going to have a problem. I mean, it's like one feeds off the other. It's awful. I remember when I was a kid, for some reason, the little church I grew up in, it was probably running about 120 people about that time, and there was like 10 of us junior high boys. We were all born the same year. The year that all those ladies was pregnant, must have been a mess around the church. Everybody, some folks were probably scared to go there. You know, it must be something in the water. But anyway, there was all these pregnant ladies around, but there was all these junior high boys. And so we were all sitting in class, and we were having a class, and the teacher, so help me, the teacher was teaching. He was teaching, you know, the words of Christ, and he said, "Now, boys," they said, "Now, Lord, our Lord says, now if somebody smacks you on one cheek, you need to turn the other cheek." Well, I looked at the guy next to me, and he looked at me, and I looked at the guy on the other side and looked at me. So we turned the other cheek and sat back down. Now, I wasn't being bad. I was just being a boy. Now, he, be honest with you, it was hard for him not to smile. All right. Well, let's get back. Let's get back to it. But evil communications, who I spend time, who I'm communicating with, who I'm getting feedback from, where I'm spending my time, corrupt good manners. I become like the people I'm around. And sometimes people become like me. And that's not good, always good either. He says, be not deceived. Don't lie to yourself and think you can handle running around with the world and still have a heart that searches for the Lord with all his heart. Don't lie to yourself. It won't be long until we're just like them. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You get a couple guys and one of them gets angry, and before long they're all angry. Ladies, if you're not attached, don't make sure you don't get attached to an angry man. It's like you say, well, I can fix him. No, you can't. Women get married thinking they're going to fix him, they're going to change him. And men get married hoping that she's not going to change. You get what you get. You're buying what you're seeing. It may get better. It may, most likely, they're already on their best behavior. Now, you're already married. Then we go back to Second Peter and see what the Lord can do. He can do some great and mighty things. But you're not going to be the ones going to change them. You know, we never drift up. You always drift down. When we walk with the world, we will get what the rest of the world is going to get. And we're going to end up where they're going. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. You walk with the wrong bunch, you're going to be doing things you shouldn't do, and you know what? You're going to get the same response the same consequences that they get. Yeah, but I didn't mean it. I was just following them. Doesn't make any difference. Well, I wasn't driving a car. I was just riding in the car with the guy that was drunk. Be very discerning who you listen to. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Say no. How do we know if they're living in a sinful way? By what they do as compared to the Word of God. By their fruit ye shall know them. But they're nice folks. I like them. Well, do they help get closer to the Lord or further away? That's your answer. Say it for me. I don't know. The RU statement. If they're not helping me get the RU principle. If they're not helping me get closer to the Lord. And those, okay, those don't love one won't help me serve the Lord. And those who are not helping me get closer to the Lord, our chances are going to get me further away from the Lord. So who we listen to determines much who we are. Number two. To search for the Lord with all our hearts so that we truly find Him means we must make some very serious and clear and tough decisions. We must make some very serious, clear, and tough decisions. Now, I'm a terrible procrastinator. I really am. Sometimes I'm so sure I don't want to make the wrong decision, and sometimes I make no decision. I got stuff in my office that, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that. There it is. On my desk, I saw this thing was that I put there for somebody a while back, and the meeting didn't happen. And I just realized the date was a year and a half ago on that thing. But there's some things that are just plain dangerous. You got to make some decisions. Let's go back to our passage in Psalm 101. Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Now watch. Not my mercy, not my judgment, but the Lord's. He says, unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. He says, I know you are merciful, Lord, but you also expect me to make good judgment calls and have some godly sense about me and call things as you see them, Lord. Yes, I understand His mercy. A wonderful, glad for His mercy, but He also has judgment. In all thy getting of wisdom, get understanding. Listen, knowledge of the holy is understanding. Know what God thinks. Decide that wherever and whenever the Lord finds me, He will find me living life as it would please Him. Now, I know He's always there, but we kind of think about it, you know, when He showed up and there, He looked over my shoulder. You know, watch this, verse 2. I will behave myself. Sometimes we come in, we don't have any visitors. I say, oh, good, we don't have to behave. But the Lord's always here. I will behave myself wisely, watch, in a perfect way, a mature way, a grown-up way. Not perfection in that sight. That word perfect means having grown up, matured. He says, I'm going to behave myself in a complete, fully innocent, upright way. To be a grown-up, not to be a foolish child. He says, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? In other words, when will your spirit come upon me? I need you to do this through me, Lord. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Listen, not just in eye service, but truly from the heart. I want to walk in my house. A few weeks, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I don't want to re-preach it. But I spent some time on Sunday night a few weeks ago. Talking about being right with the Lord and being a good vessel to be used of the Lord. And sometimes where we're getting our vessels the most dirty is at home. We only hurt the one we love. Isn't it amazing how we do that? We can put on our good face, be professional, and be nice to everybody else, and you go home and you crank all over the wife like she's a rug. He walks in the door, you hit him in the face with all these words. We say we love our kids, but whether in word or deed, we're kicking them down the hallway. The puppy comes out to the door and you scoot him out of the way. Where we are, says, I will walk. Says, I want to seek you with all my heart, Lord, so I'm going to walk with you in my house with a perfect heart. I'm going to do right even when I am at home in the privacy of my own house. Now watch. And even when no one's watching me. Living righteously seems to be easier among those other than our immediate family. We're not better people with outsiders. We're just likely to embarrass ourselves by allowing the outsiders to see what we really are. Can I say that again? We're not better people because we behave ourselves out in public. We just don't want to be embarrassed by people seeing what we really are. Our families eventually find out what we are. And once the cat is out of the bag, you know what? A lot of times we just let it all hang out. Don't have anything. They know it now. Can't hide anything. Just let the chips fly where they may. And all of a sudden we come home and people know what we really are. He says, I'm going to behave myself in the house. Now, the people we run around with is going to determine much of who we are. And we need to decide that we're going to do right wherever God may find us to be. So if that's the case, number three, we have to keep our heart. We have to keep our heart. We've spent all this time talking about we want to search God with all our heart, and so we don't want to search for Him on our own terms. I'll take this. You know, God's not a smorgasbord. Ladies, you don't want your husband to think of you as a smorgasbord. He likes this about you, but this part he just hates, and he lets you know it. You don't want that. We got to keep our heart. Watch this. If my heart needs to be right with my wife's heart, I can't let my heart be pulled away to somebody else's heart. I've got to protect my heart. Well, you're a grown man. You can do what you want. Yes, I can. And because I want good, not evil, in my life, I'm going to protect my heart so I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Proverbs 4:20 says this. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Now listen to me, saying, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Don't let this fly past you here. Lean in and get this good. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I tell you what you're going to end up in life. Here's what you're going to end up with in your marriage. Here's what you're going to end up with in your family. Here's what you're going to end up with all said and done, and you're ready to pass on. You're going to end up with what you have allowed to get into your heart. That's what you're going to end up with. If you let a lot of emptiness in there, you're going to end up with emptiness. What I think determines what I am. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's talking about a king. He says, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart's not with thee. It's not what we are on the outside. is what God knows we are on the inside. You may be surprised who it is that you need to be careful about. This could get tough here. Hang on. Luke 14, 26 is the words of Christ. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What's he saying? If I'm going to search the Lord with all my heart, then everything else becomes a second priority, not first. It may not always be easy to search for the Lord with all your heart. He goes on in that passage. He talked about, you know, hating father, mother, and so forth, even your own life. He said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What's that mean? There's some things you need to sacrifice. There's some things that we need to, and I hate to even use the word sacrifice, because the deal you get out of is a whole lot better. But there's some things we need to put aside if I'm going to seek him with all my heart. If I'm going to have his life in me being lived out. Searching for the Lord with all our hearts may be costly, but it's well worth the price. That passage goes on. It says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Thus happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with the 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way, or he sendeth an embassage and a desire conditions, sorry, of the peace. What's he saying? Oh, I'll live the Lord. I'll see with all my heart. Oh, I got to do that? Well, I'm not sure I'm willing to do that. I want to search for him with all my heart. You count the cost. We've already counted all those things. As Brother Nathan was saying in Sunday school this morning, to live as Christ, to die as gain. And all this other stuff that I had before, I count it as loss, as dung. My purpose is to know him. We think it would be better to just tread lightly about truth and righteousness, but then we're not seeking the Lord with all our hearts. And then we cannot expect to truly find him. And then we cannot claim the promises that God has given those that seek him with the whole heart. Our passage goes on and says, so likewise, not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We'd also be telling the whole world that seeking the Lord with all our hearts is not always a good thing. We tell our kids, Lord, all you have, God's God, this is good. But then when we come to it and the rubber meets the road, we find out, well, I'm not willing to take that step. And he goes on and says, salt is good, but the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall be seasoned, neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. And he says, listen closely to what I say. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What impact are we going to have on others when we're not willing to forsake all for Christ? Then we don't really believe in Christ. Number four. I said to keep the heart. If we're going to keep the heart, here's what we need to do. We need to watch the gate. We need to watch the gate. To keep the heart, we must watch the gate. We must watch what's getting into our heart. Got a few minutes here. Hang tight. Proverbs 4, verse 24. I want you to see something here. I will closely monitor, watch, the ear gate. These are the things that keep us. Now, you can't stop people from talking. You may live with somebody who talks all the time. You may live with somebody but you can decide whether you let that stuff sink in or not. Resolve, I'm not going to let it cleave unto me. In Proverbs 4:24 it says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. What are the people you run with talking about? Okay, now listen to me. The people that you're around, now again, there's some things you don't have a whole lot of choice. But you can decide the ones that you go with after work, one you spend time with here, one you make friends with. The people you run with, what do they talk about? Deceitfulness? Is it off color? Is it gossip? How others owe them? And they got the raw deal all the time. When the world is putting things into my ear gate, telling me that there's a whole world out there that I should be exploring, what do I do? Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Well, they're saying this and that and the other thing, and I'm hearing it from the TV, I'm seeing it on the internet, it's on the radio, and my friend said the same thing. What am I supposed to do? Just do what God said you're supposed to do. Stay right on that path. Keep your mind. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Stay on track. Watch where you're going, and keep your feet on that narrow way of righteousness, and not the froward roads that exit off on something you think is going to be a nice byway. Stop. And then we need to keep our eyes, we've got to keep our mind, we've got to keep our body. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. Don't move off the path even a little bit. Don't let yourself get off. Don't even wander off and go take a look over the hill, what might be out there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Listen, we're talking about how we're going to watch the gate. Are these people helping me? I want to seek the Lord with all my heart. Well, what am I going to do? I've got to be careful what I do. Jump back to 101, Psalm 101, verse 3. Look. Okay, we got the ear. We have that eye gate there. We have an ear gate. What people are saying, look at the eye gate. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. What I allow to get in my eye gate is going to change, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I will become what I have been becoming. We wonder why something comes out of your mouth. Do you realize that the kids are not born knowing curse words? Sometimes you think they are, but they're not. Where did they get them? And by the way, why don't they know all those funny old words in the old King James Bible? We don't use them. Maybe if we kept our nose in the old King James Bible, quoted those verses as we went along day by day, they would know them. My oldest son, he's 33. Whew. Over here helping with the kids' club. When he went into kindergarten, they took him in and did a interview, kind of just to see if he was ready for kindergarten. She came out and she's going, where did he get this vocabulary? A great big long word. Where did he get this? In fact, when he was really, really little, we would play with him and say, let's say Deuteronomy. And he'd go, I can't say Deuteronomy. Well, why'd he know those things? Because it became part of their regular life. He said, I set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We become the people and the things, the books we read, the internet that we see, the TV show, That's what we are going to become. He says, I will hate those things. I will count them as my enemy. Anything that turns me aside. I hate anything that tries to get me off track, off the narrow road, into the briars, away from the path of righteousness. He said, it shall not cleave to me. I'm not going to allow that wicked thing that others think is so good stick to me. I'm going to be resolved and make a decision because I know where that leads. Let me ask you, what do you watch? What do you listen to? What are you looking at? What are you allowing into your life that's making provision for the flesh to get the best of you and draw you away from the Lord and into sin? Remember, we are what we think about. Look at verse 4. A froward heart. A froward heart. That word froward is different than toward or forward. Froward means I'm just kind of getting off the path. I'm in a place where I shouldn't be. Someone that seems to be set on going off the path of righteousness. A froward heart shall depart from me. You know what he's saying? If they have a heart to go off from the Lord, they can go on without me. I'm staying on the narrow path on the righteousness. They're going to depart from me. Yes, they will. Well, this is my friend, but I'm staying on there. But they want to go over there. Is it a froward path? If it's the wrong way, well, yeah, then I'm not going there. They can choose to stay with me as much as I can choose to go with them. But if my heart is to be right with him, I'm not going to go that path. See, this is common sense, folks. And we live in our life where they all say, well, I can't help it. I thought we were evolving, not devolving. The world says, and whereas in generations past, they said, well, this is what we do. Why? Because this is what we do. But now I can't. Bunch of wimps. Make a decision. I'll tell you what it is. It is an excuse to sin. He says, I will not know a wicked person. You know what that means? I have no desire to become buddies with those that fill their lives with the wrong things. I'm not going to spend time with wickedness long enough to get to know how it works and how it thinks and what it delights in. I don't want to know that. Look at the ear gate again. Verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. You know that person who's always gossiping and talking about bad about folks? You don't have to stand there and listen to it. You could just say, you know what, I don't want to get into that. Change the subject. They go back to it, well, I really don't want to get into that. Well, you know what, I tell you what, I've got some other things I need to do. Well, that's just mean. I am protecting my stupid heart that's so easily drawn into sin so that I can please him, not you. He's the one I need to please. There is some self-preservation. I need to spare myself from the sin and the consequences therein. So I listen. They're around there slandering, gossiping. I don't want that in my life. They got a proud look. They know exactly what the boss should have been doing. They're going to do, you know what? I don't need to be around that. Because I can get tied up in that stuff so quickly. Foolish know-it-alls are nobody to hang around with. God resists the proud. So why in the world would I want to be running around with people that are being resisted by God? Did you catch that? It probably won't be long until I'll be being resisted by God as well. Look at verse 6. Look at the eye gate again. Verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. You know what we're saying is this. I want to run with those that run with God. I want to run with those who run with God. And I want to emulate the faithful and not the foolish. And when it says that person, the one who walks the perfect way, he shall serve me, he's not talking about getting a butler at the house. Although you want to get a Christian butler, if you can afford, that's fine. But no, what he's saying is this: when I follow those who follow God, it will serve me well. I pick on my son. He's sitting back here. As boys go, he's a pretty good boy. He was kind of antsy and itchy when he was little and hard to sit still and all those kind of things. His mind was always going a mile a minute. He really wasn't trying to be bad, even when he was looking into the fire extinguisher at school and ended up in the principal's office. And he went off to Bible college and he was doing well. But he made a decision between his sophomore and junior year. He says, now the guys I'm running with are good guys. But there's some guys that are more serious about the things of God than even these guys. That's where I want to run. Now, this is interesting. Now, I'm bragging on this, so don't listen, Nathan. I want you to hear this. And I know this is Daddy talking. And I'd like to think I had something to do with the fact that he thought this through like this. I don't know if I did or not, but I like to think I do. A lot of things I like to think. I like to think I'm thin. But anyway, listen, I identify as thin. Now you're hurting my feelings. He decided that he's going to run with them who are serious about running with God. And you know what? He ended up beating them all out, grade point average, ended up being the valedictorian over all those boys he was running around with. Now, they're all good boys. And we got some of them we're bringing in here who are planning on going to the other side of the world as missionaries. And they're good men, and we're going to see if we can help support them. But I'm saying you run with wise men, you become wise. But a companion of fools shall destroy you. It gets us off task. I'm almost done here. I want to run with those that run with God. I want to emulate the faithful, not the foolish. And I'm going to be served much better by those that encourage my walk with God than those that discourage it. Psalm 101, verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Don't run around with liars. That sounds funny, but this makes sense. Don't run around with liars. Those that will lie to others will eventually lie to you. I'm almost done. Verse 8. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. That was David. He says, as king, he had the right to take these matters into his hands. But we should protect ourselves from the wrong things that will cause us to do wrong. I need to clear my life out of anything and even anyone that is bringing the wrong things into my gate. If Ecclesiastes, and again, I don't know why our message worked this way because it wasn't where I was headed. But Ecclesiastes 12:13. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, a man who had everything and wanted more. He went out in the world and said, I'm going to see whatever pleases me, I'm going to take. We got all done. He says, you know what? I want you to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the bedway. I've been everywhere. I've seen everything. I've got everything I want. I haven't withheld anything. You know what life is? Fear God and keep His commandments. Realize who God really is and do what He says. That's the whole duty of man. That's life. That's your existence. If you're going to seek the Lord with all your heart, you are going to have to guard your heart. You are going to have to make some decisions. To guard your heart, you must keep the gate so nothing slips in that will not draw you away. How do you watch the gate? Biblical principles. Know the book. Let me tell you this. I'm done. I'll tell you where we got ourselves in trouble about 20 years ago, maybe 40 years ago. We started teaching standards rather than teaching principles. And people got sick and tired of the standards because we preach it, but we see when we go home, they're not walking perfect in their own home. Their heart was wrong. All they saw was hypocrisy. What we need to do is have our heart right with God with convictions. We get Bible principle. From the Bible principle, we decide what God wants us to do, and we get conviction, resolve. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. So then I got to do is put rules in my life, personal rules in my life, so that I will keep that conviction. That's my standard. So I have created things in my life to make me do what I'm supposed to do so that I keep the conviction, so I don't break the principle, because I'm seeking the Lord with all my heart. You follow me? But years ago, I'll tell you what happened was we forgot these steps and we were just telling them, this is what we do. And we made decisions, we had standards, we're living by standards, we're not living by principle. And the fact is, if you live by standards, we found out since it wasn't a principle, it was an opinion. An opinion is like noses. Everybody has one. And we're forever sticking it where it doesn't belong. Our opinions. You stick those things where they don't belong either. Now, wherever we may be in our life, we've got to go back to, I'm going to seek the Lord with all my heart. So I need to find out what the Word of God says. I'm not going to the left. I'm not going to the right. I'm going to stay right there. I don't even want to look next to the right. I don't even want people calling me from the left or the right. Because I want His blessing on my life. And by the way, it's a sweet place to be. You talk about a sweet spot on a ball or a baseball bat. There's a sweet spot when you're walking with the Lord. It's a sweet spot. He's got your back. He's got your future. Guard my heart. That's the issues of life. But keep the principle. And see the principle with conviction and resolve with every fiber of our body, our mind, our soul. I'm going to stay right there. But that makes me make some difficult decisions. There's some things I'm not going to be able to do if I'm going to keep my conviction. There's some places I'm not going to go. There's some folks I'm not going to let be my friend. I can be friendly too. I'm not talking about that. Jesus was everybody's friend. I'm not talking about shunning people. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just saying, I'm just not going to run around them until they're going to pull me off this place. I don't want to go there. You'll find out who I'm supposed to run with and choose the best crowd. And then I can say I'm seeking the Lord with all my heart because my heart's not given to anybody else or anything else. And then I can claim the promises. I shall find Him. Father, thank You for speaking to us this morning. We've been late again, but we want to find You. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Piano's going